From Taiwan to Cook Islands.
From the United Kingdom to the United States of America.
From Switzerland to Canada.
From Morocco to South Africa.
There is a Nigerian with something for the ears of the world.
Listen to Nigerians in Diaspora on Diaspora Discourse on Spirit of Nigeria Radio.
Diaspora Discourse, bringing Nigerians in Diaspora closer home.
All right, welcome again to Spirit of Nigeria Radio. Time for us to bring on one Nigerian again who is doing us proud, who is flying high the Nigerian flag. One Nigerian who is shining bright the Nigerian light, and it can only happen on Spirit of Nigeria Radio, Diaspora Discourse, because we bring Nigerians in Diaspora up to speed. We bring Nigerians in Diaspora closer home. And yes, another time for us to bring home, closer home, another Nigerian who is flying the flag high, and this time around, one who is being bold, daring, very courageous, one who is contesting for the Senate seat in the United States of America. All right, welcome to Diaspora Discourse. My name is Toye Arulugu, and I'll be having a beautiful conversation this beautiful Saturday in Nigeria with Dr. Yomi Fakparusi, an Ekiti man, but full-blooded Ibadan man. Hello, how are you, sir?
Hello, how are you? Good evening over there, Mr. Arulugu.
All right, how are you? Welcome to Spirit of Nigeria Radio. We give positive Nigerian energy. We celebrate Nigerians who are doing well in diaspora. And of course, we bring them up to speed with happenings, news, trending stories, and all the things that they need to hear about Nigeria, because we are the authentic source of Nigerian information. All right, you're welcome. Let me just let our listeners know that you are an experienced licensed physician, attorney, and researcher. And in addition to your medical and legal expertise, you have extensive background in statistics, especially modeling, trend analysis, and research methodology. And this has positioned you uniquely as one of the experts on Medicare extrapolation and defense. Dr. Yomi Fakparusi has strong knowledge of healthcare laws and policies, especially relating to medical malpractice, tort reform, Medicare, Medicaid, and the Health Reform Act. All right, he is also a chief compliance officer and has direct responsibility for compliance, litigation support, medical services, medical malpractice, personal injuries, and regulatory compliance, physician relations, and data analytics. Only you, my brother. This one too much now. How far? All right. So tell us. Let us establish your Nigerianness, which is one of the things that we do first. You know. So tell us, where were you born? Which schools did you go to? So that it's not as if we've gone to bring a foreigner, a Ghanaian. And you probably mentioned, you know, some of the your colleagues. You know, things that would also establish your Nigerianness. Over to you.
Okay. So thank you very much for the opportunity. I was born in Ibadan. Wow. I was born specifically University College Hospital Ibadan, UCH. Hmm. I grew up University of Ibadan campus, University of Ibadan, went to International School, University of Ibadan, and I went to medical school at the University of Ibadan College of Medicine. Mm-hmm. So I graduated from UCH. Like I said, I'm a thoroughbred, born, bred, as we say, butter in Nigeria. And not only did I grow up in Nigeria, of course, is my foundation. When I was in Nigeria, I was very active, you know, unlike many medical students, I was very active in student activities. So that's where, I'm very passionate about Nigeria. I do not run away from who I am. I mean, Nigeria is always going to be my root. And everything, you know, else starts from Nigeria.
Wow.
Until today, I still keep very close eye on what goes on in Nigeria, because one of the things I do is I practice immigration law, so I have to be current about what goes on in Nigeria. So I'm very much in Nigeria.
Oh, yeah, UI boy, you know.
Yes, I am a UI boy.
All right.
All intents and purposes, yeah. I have Ibadan credibility as
okay.
well.
Okay, Ibadan credibility. All right, so you know much about Abadina, you know Danfodio Road, you know, okay. Because I grew up partly there too.
Yeah, and for those of Ibadan, I know Laipo as well.
You know Laipo, okay. That's correct. That's the real thing. That's the real deal, really. All right. Okay. So you left Nigeria. You went to the United States. Okay. Tell us, you know, briefly about your sojourn in the U.S.
Okay. So obviously, when I was in medical school, that was during the era where we were having all the strikes. So my set ended up spending 2 extra years in medical school. At that point, I got very, very active against Abacha, who was then the head of state. You know, I was very much into the actualization of June 12. So shortly after medical school, I was almost arrested by the SSS at that time. You know, we called it the SS. So my plan had been to actually stay back in Nigeria, but because of the threat of my life, I had to flee Nigeria. And so got to the United States. I sought asylum. That's how, you know, I got myself settled in the U.S. And obviously, I mean, I guess I'm still very passionate about these issues. You know, democracy is a very big deal. And, you know, to give people perspective, I pretty much, you know, grew up under the military regime. And so, I mean, I'm a big proponent of democracy in this true sense. And I also believe that, you know, just because you're comfortable doesn't mean you're going to be quiet. You know, you got to fight. Wow. You got to be an activist. You got to be passionate. Yeah, and then finally, what I would say is, you know, sitting on the fence is always a position itself. Because that means you're just okay with what's going on with the status quo. So, you know, as you get older, obviously, you moderate your adulta, you know, thing and everything. But,
yeah.
but you know... I personally should, I believe that nobody should trade. If you have that passion and you've always had it, you know, your college days, you should always, you know, keep the, you know, the flag flying.
All right. So that's passion, that commitment is what is driving you to seek a seat at the United States Senate representing Tennessee. Is that correct?
That's correct. But, you know, obviously because it's a federal seat, you know, there's a national ramification for it. So it's not just a matter of because I'm elected in Tennessee, that doesn't mean, you know, I don't get to, you know, sort of have a, you know, be a voice for, you know, Nigerians in, you know, in diaspora in the United States. Because we've come to a point, especially in the last 2 years, where it, you know, we really need a voice. It's gotten to that place.
All right. Okay. So let's begin to talk more about the politics so that we can talk more about your profession growing up in UI. We'll get to that, but you know, the real purpose of our discussion is because you are seeking election into the US Senate representing Tennessee, and I know Tennessee a bit too, the Smoky Hills, Smoky Mountains, fairly known Knoxville, you know, the orange color in the Vols, you know, I think that's it. The University
of
Tennessee.
That's very correct. Definitely know Tennessee.
Yeah, I know Tennessee. I know, I have a lecturer there, Dr. Sam Swan, taught me broadcast management at the University of Tennessee. And he's very close to Nigeria, comes once in a while. So you want to be representing Dr. Sam Swan now, I believe. Yeah, then
very
I also
much.
Met, yeah, yeah. I met a lady too, a white lady who came for the Oshun-Shubu Festival last year. She's also a lecturer there. And, you know, anyway, so is Tennessee, is this still smoking on the mountains?
Well, still, but you just have to know how you, you know, sort of you play around the smoke.
All right, so Tennessee is big.
Yourself visible.
Yeah, where are you based in Tennessee? I just mentioned Knoxville. Where are you from?
I'm in the suburbs of Nashville, so that's considered Middle Tennessee.
Okay, Nashville.
I'm in the Nashville area.
What we know about Nashville are country singers with their cowboy hats and boots, and is that still happening?
Now, yeah, that's very, very current. You know, it's the hub for country music, yes.
Okay. All right,
it is.
Let's go straight now. What exactly is your motivation? And I'm saying, okay, you were a lutar continua in Nigeria. You were instrumental to, you know, Abacha. Your life was threatened. But now you're in the United States. Okay, I agree. You said when you're comfortable doesn't mean you should be quiet. But what's driving you, you know, to seek that seat, you know, in the U.S., considering that, okay, fine, life is much more comfortable, things are much better, infrastructure is there. So what are you seeking, you know, to do, you know, when you get to the Senate? What is driving you? What's the motivating factor for this? Or is it just still the Aluta spirit or the Ekiti blood, you know, which is, you know what they say.
No comments.
Good. All right, so what exactly is it?
I mean, so over the last like 10 years, I've always felt that, you know, one of the biggest problems many of us face here as Nigerians is people, when people think about Nigerians, they think of the negatives. Nobody ever thinks about the fact that, you know, the truth is majority of us do positive things in the U.S. You see, majority of Nigerians are very accomplished in the U.S.
That's true.
But the few, and I say very, very few criminals have tarnished the brand.
Mm.
Also, with many of us, you know, having kids now, you know, we want our kids to be proud of, you know, of being Nigerian. We don't want them to run away from being Nigerians. So one of the first things that made me start thinking about running was the fact that we had to overwhelm the negativity with positive aspects. And for you to do that, you need a platform, you need a voice to do that. But lately, in the last 2-3 years, immigration has been a big issue for Nigerians here. And even coming in, you know, to the country, you have this ban on Nigerians, and there was nobody that sort of objected to it in the federal delegation. That's because we don't have a voice there. So when the president banned Nigerians from coming in, sort of, nobody said anything because we don't have a voice. You see, I think the biggest mistake, you know, people make about immigration, especially amongst Americans, is the fact that immigration is not a social issue. It's an economic issue. So you don't have papers, you can't work. You don't have papers, you can attain the maximum you want to be. So obviously working, you know, in immigration and everything, I realized that one of the things that has to change is the immigration system. And the reason why it has to change is because it's a very convenient barrier for many Nigerians in the U.S. I mean, that's how most Nigerians basically get, that's the obstacle many Nigerians face, why they can, you know, be all they can be. Then finally, I also remember when I first moved here, one of the things I wasn't too pleased about was I felt the older generation didn't really care much about the ones who were just coming. Now, in fairness to some of them, you've heard a lot of things, so they were trying to be careful. But I believe that, you know, I can do the same thing I was very much upset about. So how do we help the younger generation? First things, they can go, I mean, I've gone through a lot of obstacles just coming to the U.S. There's no reason why a younger person or frankly, any Nigerian needs to go through the same obstacles. So going into the Senate, a big part of it is the immigration overhaul. Look, everybody watches out for their own people.
Yeah,
I'm not going to run away from being of Nigerian root. I will not. My name says it. I carry it proudly anytime. And so, in today's climate, for you to be heard, you need a voice. And I'm running to be that voice for Nigerians, for Africans here. And, you know, with the Black Lives Matter thing, we are black. So this is an issue that is relevant to us too.
Yeah.
So if I'm going to summarize, tackle the immigration obstacle that we're all facing, at the same time to make being Nigerian American a thing of pride again.
Wow.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds good. And of course, we share that at Spirit of Nigeria Radio. One of the reasons why this station is on air is to celebrate Nigeria, to promote brand Nigeria, to showcase the positives about Nigeria. And that's why we say Spirit of Nigeria Radio will give positive Nigerian energy. So we share that with you. All right, before I forget, something that is also very dear and close to our own heart here is something we call Nigeria Diaspora Votes Matter. we are saying that given the contribution of Nigerians in the diaspora to this nation, it is about time that Nigerians in diaspora vote, participate in the electoral process. Do you believe in that?
Well, I believe in that. I mean, the truth is, I mean, we're talking today because there's a sense of affinity in Nigeria. You know, and so if people are, because people are outside, doesn't mean they shouldn't vote. And when you think about most nations, I mean, we're, our goal is to make Nigeria a developed nation, not a developing nation, a developed nation. And all developed nations allow their citizens in diaspora to vote. And I personally believe that when that is achieved, it's going to change the landscape a lot. You know, and it's a good idea. But you see, I'm also a very practical person. I think, you know, as much as, I mean, it's a good idea, that the this has to be from within. You understand what I'm saying? In the sense that it has to be sold even more amongst those who live there. Because as much as Nigerians in diaspora may say, oh yeah, we want to have input, if the people in Nigeria are indifferent about it, it's not going to happen. So what I'm saying is, you know, I agree with you 100%. Yes, it should happen. But there also needs to be a lot of promotion, a lot of education about it in Nigeria so that people can see the advantage.
Yeah, I agree with you. And
because a lot of people in diaspora, a lot of Nigerians in diaspora pretty much feel helpless when it comes to, you know, being able to have a voice, you know, about anything that goes on in Nigeria. So that, that would really sort of address that.
Okay, but the good news from our own end here is that the Ninth Assembly in Nigeria is beginning the process to, you know, amend the law, revise the law that would enable that to happen. There's a commitment, you know, from the chairperson, the House Committee on Diaspora, Honorable Tolusha Dipe Akonde. We've also spoken with Honorable Abike Dabirerewa, the chairman and CEO of Nigeria's In Diaspora Commission. And it was part of the, okay, the goodies, you know, delivered about 3 Saturdays ago, the National Diaspora Day. So it's going to happen. And we are just saying, let's even start from somewhere. Let's take the first steps. But I agree with you, and Spirit of Nigeria will continue to push that, you know, agenda so that it can happen. All right, now tell me, black man in the United States wanting to be senator, what challenges, you know, do you face? You've talked about Black Lives Matter. What are the obstacles that you need to overcome? And what kind of support do you expect from Nigerians in the diaspora, especially those in the United States?
I mean, as a black person, I mean, you even just not running for office, there are obstacles you face. And part of the obstacles is just some people, you know, racial prejudice and everything just don't like you. That's added to the fact that you have an accent. You have a name that doesn't sound, you know, Anglo-Saxon. Then you turn people back and say, well, but Barack Obama won.
That's correct.
So there's also, it doesn't mean it doesn't mean it can be done. How you sort of get over those things is basically finding a way of communicating. The truth is, there are Caucasians who do not have those racial prejudices. So for you to be able to get a sizable majority to get you over the hump, first of all, first things first, you need to tell your message to your own people. And then some of them will help you bridge the gap, you know, reach out to people. I don't think I look at it like it can be done. It's just, you know, you just make sure you know, you can communicate. You have a message. One of my biggest principles is I maximize what we agree on and I minimize our differences. Because a lot of times, people get so hung up on what they disagree on, whereas they probably agree on most things. There are so many people who believe that you shouldn't deport people and send them back home and split the families. There's so many people who believe that. So it's not like people don't, you know, sort of all the things we're fighting for. It's not like you can't get partnership with the other side. It's just how you know, taking your time and listening to people. Exactly. Listening is very important. If someone has an objection, you shouldn't just think, oh, this person is biased. No, listen to why they have an objection. Mm. And then you can talk through it and see, you know, how you can bridge the gap. When it comes to the Nigerians here, a big part of American politics is raising funds. And obviously, you know, one thing when you run this kind of campaign, you seek funds from, you know, your base.
Yeah.
And my base, naturally, is Nigerians living in the U.S. Mm. So one of the things I would hope I would get is the, you know, the financial support. Then also, you know, just the prayers matter in this kind of thing. You know, you can raise as much money as you want. You always pray you're in, it's your time. You always pray you're there in the right place at the right time. And then, you know, for you to be able to obviously say the right things too, because you can end up saying something that would sort of, you know, end the campaign. So those are the kind of things, you know, pretty much, you know, and they're spreading the word, you know, like you said, you know, a professor here, you know, Nigerians can reach out to people, they know, oh, I know this person who's running, you know, it's word of mouth, you know, they spread it. Because when you talk about someone like your professor now, you have a lot of credibility with him.
Yeah.
So he's going to, okay, Tori telling me he's going to go with it.
Mm.
So those are the kind of things I need from, you know, Nigerians in the sport. I'm sorry, Nigerians in the U.S. Because, you know, I just want people to understand we need to do this now. This is not something we can kick down the road, because it just seems like, you know, things are just getting more and more complicated. And, you know, it hurts you when you hear something about when Nigerians are the most educated. These are known facts.
Mm.
But then there's something's missing. And that's because even when I was back in Nigeria, I used to always tell a lot of my friends in medical school that you can dominate the professional circle, you can dominate the business circle, but if you don't penetrate the political circle, you haven't arrived.
That's true.
Because they set the rules. So so that's it in a nutshell.
All right. Okay, so let me make this appeal, you know, to Nigerians in the United States who are listening to us, and those who will still listen, you know, as we're going to put this interview on our website later on. Tennesseans deserve a senator who will work to grow our economy, support healthcare, small businesses, and be bold on resolving our immigration crisis. And we are asking you to vote your me for pass 2020 for U.S. Senate. Vote your me for pass for U.S. Senate. Your me for pass grew up on a university campus. He learned the value of education and hard work from his parents, who had a poultry business in addition to being college professors. At a young age, Fapas tended chickens at the family business. Thus, Fapas understands the importance of small businesses, especially in Tennessee. Yomi attended medical school and eventually graduated with a PhD from Johns Hopkins School of Public Health. Today, the United States faces a public health crisis with the COVID-19 pandemic, which I guess is global. And as a licensed physician, Fapas would bring the requisite knowledge to the U.S. Senate to formulate policies that would address current and future healthcare issues. And of course, as a practicing immigration attorney, Fapas will put partisan politics aside to resolve all the immigration crises of Nigerians. And I got that from your website, Yomi Fapas 2020 for U.S. Senate. And of course, you are bold about it. You're asking for what? Prayers and financial support. And like you rightly said, prayers, very, very important. All right, so Nigerians out there in the United States, support Yomi Fapas for U.S. Senate. We beg you, we plead with you. This is one Nigerian who is making or taking a bold step, a courageous step, so that life can be better for not only Nigerians, I guess, immigrants generally, and contribute his own quota, you know, to the United States. All right, we've been speaking with Mr. Yomi Fapas Fakwarusi, contesting or going for the seat in the Senate of the United States. All right, you know what I like to do at this point? Let's take a break. Listen to this piece of music. You said you are Ekiti born, but Ibado bread and buttered and chicken and everything. This one is a beautiful piece of music. One of my favorites from Q Dot. It's called Ibado Nimua. We'll be right back after this little piece of music.
Agugulu kawaliwa, oni zekere deli, oni lumi masulo.
Spirit of Nigerian radio.
Mi zekere batiso, konga deli, adeli, bijoma deli, anjaza kungo gilelo fumi deli. Adekode Salenji, Adaguru Maraj, Awole Pelu Ugati, Ankara Lori Fasasi. Idi mbe ni badon o, oke mbe ni badon o, idi arere, idi arere, oke zango, oke moko. Ema jango dija, olonjo yakwa mi bo dija o, Pelu zogo bukwende, awan mami ni molete. Ema zogo veye twita, alomo meta veya zvika.
Eba mi kikunle salensa, omo musulumi to fakoli. Ero to le London, eba mi kikayo de kida. Siri gbeku tele tele, omo bada to di niga. Eba omo woli to fataba, basira susara kutamba. Omo kofe okulada, wande li mama referia fada. Kida ti fesile kufeku, oyo don wabe kufeku. I turn up don osi seku, kato febi pandele oti seku.
We're rocking goosey goosey. I just go so easy, a goosey. And I'm thinking like we are no doubt.
All right, it's still Spirit of Nigeria Radio. And we are speaking with Yomi Fapas, Dr. Yomi Fakparusi, a Nigerian in the diaspora, contesting, seeking election for the U.S. Senate. All right, my man, did you enjoy that piece of music?
Yes, I did. I did. It took me back to the base.
Yeah. Reminded you of a challenge, Molite. All right, that's the way it rolls in Nigeria. Yeah, that's the way it rolls in Nigeria. All right, we just thought it was appropriate for us to take that break. Let you catch, you know, some breath there. Okay, so let's go down into politics. Looking at politics in Nigeria, politics in the U.S., some critics will say, why are you not coming home to contest? Why do you want to contest in the U.S.? Any differences, any similarities? And of course, why the U.S. and not in Nigeria, where we need you more?
Okay, so that's an interesting question. I've been here probably over 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm trying to do, like I said, I mean, has some, not just, you know, not Tennessee alone. There's a national ramification in the U.S. and there's an international ramification in Nigeria.
Mm.
Because sometimes, you know, when I pray, you know, I hope I get elected, I stand there representing Nigerians. For the younger generation, I could have, I would be able to have more of an influence. You know, obviously, there's a thing about, you know, I'm not naive to understand, you know, you need to respect your elders. So there's a limit to, you know, what I can say to people who are older than me, but there's also an appeal I can make to them. Maybe I should start with, maybe the easier way to say it is this, why not Nigeria?
Yes.
I'm a very pragmatic person. And one of the things I believe in is this. If I've been away for that long, so let's give an example, Ekiti State. If I want to go and run in Ekiti State, am I running based on what I think Ekiti State should want or what the people actually want? What I'm saying is this. When you've been away for so long, it's very tricky when you say you want to go and run because you've been away from the system. Sometimes you're assuming this is what people want as opposed to what they want. And there has to be like a phase. So if I was going to run in Nigeria, I would have had to relocate like, you know, maybe 5-10 years ago and try to connect myself to what the people want, what I think they want.
Right.
And there are a lot of good candidates in Nigeria. There's no reason why I have to, you know, come and, you know, to that pool again and start contesting when we can spread our tentacles. So that's why I'm saying running here is like spreading our tentacles. So that's the point. You know, that's the reason why, you know, I'm doing it here, because I want us to spread our tentacles. I want us, you know, it's a strategic thing.
Okay.
You know, we want to show Nigeria as giant of Africa all over again. So we have to spread our tentacles all the way to here. So it doesn't mean that I have less of a passion for Nigeria. It's just the reality. I do not believe, after being away for so long, I can accurately say I know what the people there want.
Mm-hmm.
It requires, you know, a little bit of it has to be a phase. I don't know whether I answered you, I addressed what you were trying to ask me.
Yeah, I feel you, and I know that we can all make an impact in different areas. It doesn't have to be only Nigeria. And you put a good background to it when you talk about the brand image, the image of brand Nigeria, which is one of the things that you would like to address.
Yes.
And I mean, there's a nexus, there's a connect with the Spirit of Nigeria Radio there. Because people ask me too sometimes, why, you know, a radio station targeted, you know, at Nigerians in diaspora, why not something local? Said, why should I be doing what everybody else is doing? We have a strong image problem out there, and this is one of the ways we'd like to solve it.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. So I connect with you, you know, and I understand that. And it's.
And can, yeah. I, can,
go
I,
ahead,
add, can
go
I add
ahead.
One more? Can,
go
I,
ahead.
Can I add one more thing? You yes. know, one of the things, you know, when you talk about trans international collaboration, there are people in Tennessee who want to do business in Nigeria. There are people in Nigeria who want to come to the U.S.
That's correct.
It's always good when you have people at both sides, you know, at both ends. Mm-hmm. So those are the kind of things we're talking about, you know. One of the things that many of us hope to see about Nigeria in the future is that Nigeria becomes a major exporter again.
Mm.
And where else to export than Europe and the United States? But you see, the image problem is already something that's been an obstacle. Because, you know, some people would not want to deal with Nigerians. Oh, they're a bunch of 419. When you rebrand Nigerians, then all these things become easier for Nigerians. Because you and I know, we're growing up, we were exporters, you know, palm oil, all those things.
Yes.
So we want to change that culture of importing. We want to start exporting. So that's another thing, you know, another reason why it's good to have, like you said, people all over the place.
All right, okay. I believe in you. And of course, we'll start our own campaign here at Spirit of Nigeria Radio. To Nigerians that they should. We'll insist that they support your MIFA pass for U.S. Senate 2020. And by the grace of God, one day you'll be back on radio to say, yes, I made it. God delivered in my hands. And we will be saying congratulations. Okay, you are a medical
Amen.
Doctor. You are a medical doctor. University of Ibadan, UCH. Wow, what has happened to Nigeria's medical and healthcare system? In those days, people used to come to UCH. Now, nothing to show for it. What do you think happened, and how can we resolve that problem?
I mean, the major thing that happened with UCH, first of all, was the brain drain. I mean, I told you when we were in medical school, I mean, we lost 2 years. And that probably left a sour taste in the mouths of many people. And we, you know, I mean, no disrespect to the system, but the truth has to be said. Sometimes, you know, these academic systems are made unnecessary. They're made to be unnecessarily harsh. So what I'm saying is, you know, some parallels, like you want to specialize. In Nigeria, it takes you like 10 years. In the United States, it takes you like 3 years. Wow. I mean, that's a no-brainer. Anybody's going up to go to the U.S. There's also the financial incentive. But like I just said, you know, two sentences ago, the truth has to be said. We have to look into things like, you know, how do we even run the systems? Do people get the support they need? Does the medical hierarchy, does it become too political? Whereby, you know, people enjoy failing medical students. You see, these are little things nobody talks about. But what they do is they make good people want to flee the system. So another thing is priorities. You know, the government by nature does not prioritize on healthcare. And I think that's something that's really, really bad, because a lot of people, who work now in all these hospitals in Nigeria were extremely intelligent. They're extremely good. Even with the little they have, their skill set is at par with people here. But what they lack is the newest technology, the training, you know, to be able to sort of keep up with what's going on. And so when you have a system where you're not supported, I mean, you become handicapped. You know, I don't believe in, look, I was very involved in politics in Nigeria, so I don't go about bashing leadership, like, I mean, leadership of hospitals like people, most people do, because there's little you can do. But another thing I've always felt that should change with Nigeria generally is when you get appointed to a leadership position, is vice chancellor, chief medical director, all these things, part of your duties has to include raising funds. You see, this idea of waiting for the federal government to give you everything has to stop. Reach out to the alumni, ask them for funds. Leaders have to start learning how to raise funds. That's what people do in the U.S. So if the federal government is not going to come through, then go to the UCH graduates and ask them to start donating.
All right.
So that's one thing I think has to change a lot. Yeah.
I see your point. I see your point. Okay. Now I'm going to ask two questions in one. Now, recently the United Kingdom has been coming to Nigeria to do more than brain drain. You know, the doctors are moving because of the new NHS policy. It looks like our cases get going from bad to worse. So I want you to look at that. How do we stem that? And the second question, part two, is you just mentioned the issue of Vice Chancellor and the Ibadan elders, Ibadan groups and associations are saying that no Ibadan man has been vice chancellor of the University of Ibadan. And they are asking that in this current search for a vice chancellor, it should be an Ibadan man. Given the fact that you grew up in that environment, is there any merit in this? And how do you think it's going to play out? All the Ekiti people, like your, you know, uncles and your fathers, you know, they've been vice chancellor in rest of Ibadan. And you guys have never given us, you know, the opportunity. We Ibadan people, especially UCH, UI, you know, okay. I just wanted to add that, you know. let me hear you on that.
So let's start with NHS, which is the easier one to answer.
I know I'm putting you on the spot.
While I'm answering the NHS, I'll have time to think how I'm going to.
That's why I made it in double barrel. All right, sir.
So with the NHS, with the NHS, I mean, there's a reason why. You know, maybe what we need to do is we need to, I mean, for the few, you know, people, doctors who are around from the 60s, there's a reason why people went abroad and came back in the 60s and 70s,
mm.
they had, you know, there were incentives.
Yeah, that's true.
But today what you have is, you know, you're obviously with the currency, with the foreign exchange rates and everything.
Wow.
It's obviously more profitable for you to practice abroad. It's a money thing.
Mm.
But you see, it's not just a matter of just slapping, okay, we're going to give doctors the equivalent of dollars or pounds, which I believe they have to do if they want to keep them around. But the support also has to come. I remember my senior year, where we call it final year, my bad, final year in medical school. And we had two orthopedic surgeons that came from the UK. Now, this was specialists. This was what we call consultants. Mm. But because they had been trained on very sophisticated tools,
mm-hmm.
they used to find it very hard to operate because they weren't used to the very archaic, you know, tools that we had in UCH.
Mm.
See, those are the kind of things we're talking about. I mean, if these guys didn't have the patience, they would just have left. So there has to be the financial incentive, but there has to be the support.
Mm.
You know, it has to be what people are going for with the NHS system has to be something we have to give them here.
Mm.
So that way there's no incentive to go there and get it. But I also mentioned that the culture has to change. This idea of just, oh, people will take, you know, we call them part one, part two exams, and, you know, majority will fail. No, that has to change. People are not dull, but this culture of just like, we're just going to fail doctors because, you know, those are things too that we have to address. Because you can't frustrate people who've gone through medical school for like 6 years and everything, and then you now fail them after that, and you expect them not to go somewhere else.
Hmm.
So I think, you know, we have to invest more in healthcare, but the investment has to come from both public and private sectors. Handouts from government is not going to work anymore. Because the government doesn't think healthcare is priority anyway.
Wow.
With regards to the vice chancellor.
No, this one is a trivia. Don't worry. It's a trivia question.
It's a trivia question. So the way I'm going to answer is this. UI is a federal university. So we cannot apply the same rules that we would apply in the state school.
Mm.
So I would, you know, appeal to my Ibadan people. So let's continue doing these things on merit.
All right.
Because the minute you start introducing, you know, whether, you know,
ethnic, tribal,
I say your home. Well, it's even deeper than that, because now we're talking about sub-tribe. We're talking about catchment area kind of factor. You know, yes. This is deeper than just being tribe. This is like, okay, because the university is here, we need to produce. It becomes, that's like a dangerous slippery slope. Because the only way you're going to do that is to take merit away from the equation. There are Ibadan people who can compete. So let the best person win.
All right, it's so Spirit of Nigeria Radio. We have been conversing in this special edition of Diaspora Discuss with Dr. Yomi Faparusi, running for election to the U.S. Senate to represent Tennessee. All right, we've been having very beautiful discussions with him on Diaspora Discuss today. And before we went on that short break, I said, all right, so what are your chances? Are you in good stead? And do you require or need support from the federal government of Nigeria?
Okay, my chances are good.
Really?
You know, because in life, you never know until you try.
That's correct.
I have a philosophy, I will not feel for lack of trying. And so a lot of times, you know, when you do this kind of thing, you don't play defensive. You anchor yourself to the positive. You are optimistic. People will support you based on the vibes you generate yourself.
That's correct.
You know, I said it earlier on. I said, you know, Obama was able to win, right, in the United States. And even if you think about the slight sort of bias some people have against, you know, Islam and everything, he even had a name that you could argue that some people would have felt, oh, I can vote for him.
Mm-hmm.
But he believed in what he was doing. Yeah. And that's why, you know, obviously he got elected. So I tell people, you know, on a lighter note, that he actually even had a more difficult chance than I do. So what, and I'm not just running, just being naive and everything. You know, I have, you know, strategies that, you know, I'm going to put in place.
Mm.
But everything comes down to being able to communicate and let people sort of hear from you.
Right.
In the political world, I can say I paid my dues already. So to give me at least that sort of name recognition,
mm-hmm.
to be able to, you know, sort of work everything from there. So yeah, the chance is that, you know, I have to believe in, I have chance, I have a good chance.
Yeah, the audacity of hope, huh?
Yes. Pretty much.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm like that too.
I know one of the things too about the United States politics is their upsets happen. You know, so it's not a matter of like, oh, you know, things are pretty much set in stone.
Mm.
But I have just, you know, decided I'm gonna work hard, I'm gonna give it my best, and just, you know, focus on, you know, winning it, as opposed to, you know, focus on, okay, I don't want to lose. No, I never, people who know me will tell you, I'm always an optimist.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always an optimist. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing it if I didn't think I was going to win. I don't believe in, you know, some people who just say, oh, let me just test the waters. No, I don't. I have never believed in that. That's not going to change now.
Wow. All right, from your little continuous spirit. I'm sure it will keep pushing you, you know, and until you get there. I mean, like I said, nothing ventured, nothing gained.
Yeah, exactly. I like that.
All right, so part two of my question, what are there any specific things you would like the federal government of Nigeria to do? You know, okay, maybe we'll establish a prayer ban for you, since prayer is it. Okay, but seriously speaking, is there anything you would like them to do for you?
Well, unfortunately, they can, you know, by American law, they can't really do anything for me.
Mm.
But I mean, they can't do anything for me as a federal government, but people who have American relatives or have, you know, family members here, yes, they can do it as individuals, but not collectively. You know, the American law does not permit that.
Okay. All right. Okay. No problem. All right. So as we wind down, let us look at a few things. You know, another trivia. Look at Nigeria. We've been playing Nigerian music. And of course, you know that Nigerian music is one of the bestsellers, one of the leading brand image, tools for Nigeria. So do you follow Nigerian music?
I do, but I'm very old school.
I know, school. I know, so I can see it. Man, my brother, you're not easy. You are doctor, lawyer, immigration, how many things? You don't get time for music.
No, that's not true. That's not true, though. But, you know, whether you have all those things, you know.
But I know you will listen, you will listen to fella.
No, I listen to the younger artists, too. I listen to younger artists too, because there's some of them that have maybe a particular song or something like that that sort of resonates with me. I can say though that maybe I won't catch on until the song has been out for like a year, but eventually I'll catch up with it.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, but a lot of the young artists I do. Yeah.
Okay. Now, leading up to elections must be, you know, exciting for you campaign wise. You want to share some of your experiences and see if we can contrast that with what is happening in Nigeria. I'm sure you're following, for example, what is happening in Edo State. I don't know. It's a one day one drama, one day one statement here in Nigeria. You know, are there similarities in the campaigns? Have you, okay, maybe without divulging your strategies, you know, just short, you know, campaign, you know, just do like a, you know, compare and contrast, you know, campaigning in the US and here in Nigeria.
Well, I mean, campaigning, when you contrast campaigning in the US with campaigning in Nigeria, you know, one major difference is there's no violence in the US. So, you know, nobody's gonna shoot you, nobody's gonna kill you. Now, that does not mean some lunatic can shoot you, but that's not the, it's not the norm. It's an unusual thing. Another thing that happens here is people have, you have to tell people what you stand for. You know, you just don't, people, you know, one, I mean, it's not, it doesn't mean the same thing that happens in Nigeria does not happen here, but you have to be more specific about what you're going to do. It's, unlike in Nigeria, whereby the party is actually the more dominant factor, you know, it's party over the person. Rarely does the person dominate. So you have, so in Nigeria, they will say, oh yeah, you have to be in the right party. That happens too here, don't get me wrong. But people are still going to drill you on, okay, what do you want to do? You know, you just don't get away with, oh, I belong to this party, so I'm just going to coast in. No, that's not going to happen. Another difference, obviously, is the financial aspect. In the United States, they make it easier for you to run for office. It's easier for you. You can get on the ballot without necessarily having a lot of money.
Okay.
But because of the structure, you know, with the delegate system, money is a very huge factor in Nigeria, and so that could, you know, sometimes make things very murky. So if I'm going to really say if anything is the true difference, it's just violence.
Right.
You know, people here too gets very negative. You know, people trade jabs at each other. I just feel that when they trade the jabs at each other, unlike in Nigeria where people, you see, believe it or not, Nigerians are very politically savvy, more than many of them think they are. You know, the average Nigerian knows so much about politics. And so here you know, here where, you know, people can say something about you, I know, you know, people don't really care to verify. In Nigeria, they're going to verify. So sometimes that's why negative politics doesn't really, it's not that effective in Nigeria. It just bounces off because people know you're lying or you're, you know, exaggerating something. But I think, you know, if we can get to a point where we can stem out the violence, I think things are going to get really, really better.
All right. Thank you very much, Dr. Yomi Fakparusi, medical practitioner, law graduate, what else? Immigration, everything. Not only you, aka Aluta Continua, Omekiti Todagba Sibadon, you know. Which, all right. Thank you very much for being a part of Diaspora Discuss today on Spirit of Nigeria Radio. All right. Let me give you 1 minute, your last 1 minute pitch, something to Nigerians in the U.S. Yeah, say something to them, appeal to them, convince them. 1 minute and we'll be out.
Okay. So, my dear fellow Nigerians, both in Nigeria, in the diaspora, especially in the United States, no one in this country over the last 2 years has not felt the negative effects of being of the Nigerian descent. You know, like how many of us got raised, you know, we talk about the broomstick. You can break the broomstick, but when you have a broom, it's hard to break the broom. There's so many of us here, but we don't have a voice. It's time for us to come together and be that broom where no one can break us. See, many of us living here talk about the Jewish groups, we talk about the Indian groups, but we also have the number, and nothing is stopping us from having that same say or that political clout that we seek. I'm running for the Senate in the state of Tennessee because I want to give a voice to Nigerian Americans, to Nigerians all over the world, to immigrants, and to people of color, and even to Americans. Because we're having a new generation that is growing up, and we want them to see and think of being Nigerian Americans. We want them to be proud of it. We want them to carry it all over their head. Oh, I am a Nigerian American. So I ask you, as I'm running on November 3rd, 2020, to support me with your prayers. For those who can donate, kindly go to my website, www.fapas4senate.com, and donate any amount. No amount is too small. You know, little drops of water make an ocean. And by God's grace, I get elected, I will do you proud. And I hope the younger ones will be able to find that glass ceiling has been shattered for them to be able to rise up and be whatever they can be. thank you for this opportunity. God bless you all.
All right, God bless you too, Dr. Yomi Faparoshi, PhD, medical doctor, lawyer, seeking a seat in the Senate of the United States. It's been great talking to you on Spirit of Nigeria Radio. Positive Nigerian energy.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, we celebrate Nigerians in diaspora. We bring them up to speed because we are the authentic source of Nigerian information. As we round up, let me give you a dose of Nigerian music, something that says Enugbe, beautiful piece of music from young Nigerians these days. All right. Thank you very much. I'm sure we'll bring you again, maybe as the elections hot up some more, if there are any issues you want to clarify and get some response from Nigerians in the diaspora. All right. Bye. Enjoy the rest of the day.
Oja pa won yera fun wa won sa lo won ferege won gbera won yera fun wa won du won du won ja pa owe epo ati mo won owe epo awon la bo si owe epo awon tenu yi owe epo ye owe epo ati mo won owe epo awon la ro mi owe epo. I want to know you always. One scope, one shank, one. Dirty was a body block, one. I can want to one respond, one. One for goal, one response, one. Tori ni back on any package. Cause manager, people manage. Want to back with story, matching. Want to solve with melee, arrange. I to Raji Wagon. Emma so won't sing, Teba Mari Wagon. Eropa money, our money. Teba be move out, woman. She bop come in low man this star. Kilo wa de te man booming by it, man freestyle. She bop kede ti wa flow sing. Ati gay first, ede kede ti wa tone sing. Awe bo, ati mo yin awe bo. Enya la bo si awe mo. Enya tenu yi awe bo. Awe bo, ati mo yin awe bo. Enya la rokin awe bo. Enya tenu yi awe bo. She be niki send account number. Send your time, she don't number. Ara la, baby, tamarowo. You are a wolf, you go go. Olowo ti o shanu, omo ise talika. Toba ya po yon yon la lubarika. Atori la ye, horizontal and vertical. I want to allow, nomari e bi malaika. Ara reji, atu raji wagon. Nga teri iwa hae, fo e fe magon. Ero pa moni, au moni. Ema ko ofun, baba la wo, koma toni. Shep up, komi lo man dista. Tokwa po ya, eni to fe seni, o ma loka. She back at the two a blown sing, as she concert, I get a song over shown sing. Got a new girl, better ring on you. Got a new girl, better ring on you. When you're a fool, what's up? When you're a fool, what's up? What's up? What's up? What's up? What's up?
From Taiwan to Cook Islands.
From the United Kingdom to the United States of America.
From Switzerland to Canada.
From Morocco to South Africa.
There is a Nigerian with something for the ears of the world.
Listen to Nigerians in Diaspora on Diaspora Discourse on Spirit of Nigeria Radio.
Diaspora Discourse, bringing Nigerians in diaspora closer home.